Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. Standing on trial before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, Jesus boldly stated, as recorded at John 18:37, "For this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Everyone who is on the side of the truth listens to my voice. Jesus used his 3.5-year ministry on earth to teach people the truth about Jehovah God and his purpose. Those who were on the side of the truth responded favorably and wanted to learn more. Others, however, by their response to the good news, revealed themselves to be enemies of the truth. As Jesus neared the end of his earthly ministry, he bore witness to the truth during a series of dramatic confrontations in the temple. What lessons can we learn from the exciting events recorded in Matthew chapters 21 and 22? As we will see, these two chapters of Matthew highlight Jesus' courage, his masterful teaching ability, and his persistence in bearing thorough witness to the truth. Studying these chapters will help us to imitate Jesus' fine qualities. Let us begin with Matthew chapter 21. Verses 12 to 14 relate how Jesus threw out those selling and buying animals in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. These events took place on Nisan 10, 33 CE. The next day, the chief priest directly challenged Jesus' authority to disrupt their business. How would he respond? Let us start the reading at verse 23.
Efter at han var gået ind i templet, kom de øverste præster og folkets ældste hen til ham, mens han underviste, og de sagde:
"Med hvilken bemyndigelse gør du disse ting?
Og hvem har givet dig denne bemyndigelse?"
"Jeg vil også spørge jer om en ting. Hvis I svarer mig på det, vil jeg også fortælle jer, med hvilken bemyndigelse jeg gør disse ting. Johannes dåb, hvor stammede den fra? Fra himlen? Eller fra mennesker?"
"Hvis vi siger fra himlen, vil han sige til os, hvordan kan det da være, at I ikke troede ham?
Og hvis vi siger fra mennesker, har vi folkemængden at frygte, for de regner alle sammen Johannes for en profet."
"Vi ved det ikke."
"Vi ved det ikke."
"Så siger jeg heller ikke jer, med hvilken bemyndigelse jeg gør disse ting. Men hvad mener I? En mand havde to sønner. Han gik hen til den første og sagde: "Min søn, gå hen og arbejde i vingården i dag." Som svar sagde han: "Jeg går, herre." Men han tog ikke derhen. Han henvendte sig så til den anden og sagde det samme. Som svar sagde han: "Det vil jeg ikke." Bagefter fortrød han og tog derhen. Hvem af de to gjorde nu farens vilje?
Den sidste.
Jeg skal sige jer, som sandt er, at skatteopkræverne og skørerne går forud for jer ind i Guds rige. For Johannes kom til jer på retfærdighedsvej, og I troede ham ikke. Men skatteopkræverne og skørerne troede ham, og skønt I så dette, fortrød I ikke bagefter for så at tro ham. Hør en anden billedtale. Der var et menneske, en husherre, som plantede en vingård, satte et hegn omkring den, gravede en vinpers i den og rejste et tårn, og han lejede den ud til vinavlere og rejste udenlands. Da frugttiden nærmede sig, sendte han sine trælle hen til vinavlerne for at få sine frugter. Vinavlerne tog imidlertid hans trælle, og en prylede de, en dræbte de, og en stenede de. Igen sendte han trælle derhen, andre og flere end de første, men de gjorde det samme ved dem. Til sidst sendte han sin søn til dem, i det han sagde, min søn vil de respektere. Da vinavlerne så sønnen, sagde de til hinanden, dette er arvingen, kom, lad os dræbe ham og få hans arv. Så tog de ham og kastede ham ud af vingården og dræbte ham. Når nu vingårdens ejer kommer, hvad vil han så gøre ved de vinavlere?
Fordi de er onde, vil han bringe en ond ødelæggelse over dem, og vingården lejer han ud til andre vinavlere.
Der vil give ham frugterne, når tiden er inde.
Har I aldrig læst i skrifterne? Den sten, bygmestrene forkastede, er blevet hovedhjørnesten. Fra Jehova er denne kommet, og den er underfuld for vores øjne. Derfor siger jeg til jer, Guds rige vil blive taget fra jer og givet til en nation, der frembringer dets frugter. Og den, som falder på denne sten, vil blive knust. Men enhver, som den falder på, ham maler den til støv.
Da nu de øverste præster og farisæerne havde hørt hans billedtale, blev de klar over, at det var dem, han talte om. Og de søgte at gribe ham, men de var bange for folkeskarene. De regnede ham nemlig for en profet.
In challenging Jesus with the words in verse 23, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? The chief priests and elders show gross disrespect for Jehovah, his temple, and his inspired word of truth. Jesus boldly countered their challenge with a question that left them speechless, for it exposed them as treacherous and calculating. Before they could recover, Jesus followed up with two illustrations. First, he compared the religious leaders to a rebellious son. They had made a promise to do God's will, but had not kept it. Next, Jesus denounced them as wicked caretakers of Jehovah's vineyard who would be held responsible for their failure to cultivate the fruitage of faith in God's Son. Jesus' illustrations were so masterful that the chief priests and elders unwittingly pronounced judgment on themselves. The religious leaders were furious, and they would have tried to kill Jesus, but they feared the crowds. So they took the indirect approach and conspired to trap Jesus in his speech. How would Jesus handle this new challenge? Please turn your attention to Matthew 22, 15 through 33.
Så gik farisæerne hen og lagde rådet op for at fange ham i ord. Og de sendte deres disciple hen til ham sammen med tilhængere af Herodes parti, og de sagde,
Lærer, Vi ved, at du er sandfærdig og lærer andre Guds vej i sandhed.
Og du tager dig ikke af nogen som helst, for du ser ikke på menneskers ydre.
Sig os derfor, hvad du mener. Er det tilladt at betale kopskat til kejseren, eller er det ikke?
Men Jesus, som var klar over deres ondskab, sagde:
Hvorfor sætter I mig på prøve, hyklere? Vis mig kopskattens mønt.
De kom til ham med en denar, og han sagde til dem:
Hvis billede og indskrift er dette?
Kejserens.
Kejserens?
Tilbagebetal da kejseren det, der er kejserens. Og Gud det, der er Guds.
Da de hørte dette, blev de forundrede, og de forlod ham og gik deres vej. Nogle sadukæer, det er dem, som siger, at der ikke er nogen opstandelse, kom samme dag hen til ham og spurgte ham:
Lærer, Moses har sagt, hvis en mand dør uden at have børn, skal hans bror tage hans hustru til ægte og oprejse afkom til sin bror. Nu var der 7 brødre hos os, og den første giftede sig og døde, og da han ikke havde afkom, efterlod han sin hustru til sin bror. Sådan gik det også med den anden og den tredje, til sidst dem alle 7. Til allersidst døde kvinden. Hvem af de 7 skal nu have hende til hustru i opstandelsen? De har jo alle haft hende.
I tager fejl, fordi I hverken kender skrifterne eller Guds kraft. For i opstandelsen gifter mænd sig ikke, og kvinder bortgiftes ikke. Men de er som engle i himlen. Med hensyn til de dødes opstandelse, har I da ikke læst det, der blev udtalt til jer af Gud, som sagde: Jeg er Abrahams Gud, og Isaks Gud, og Jakobs Gud. Han er ikke dødes, men levendes Gud.
Da folkeskarene hørte dette, blev de helt forbløffede over hans lære.
Jesus was approached first by party followers of Herod and disciples of the Pharisees. Although these two groups held conflicting political and social views, they were united in their hatred for Jesus. Flattering words prefaced a dangerous question. Is it lawful to pay head tax to Caesar or not? Had Jesus answered, "Yes, it is lawful," he could have enraged the crowd, for many would have felt that he was condoning the injustices they suffered at the hands of the Romans. On the other hand, a response such as, "It is not lawful," could have sparked a revolt, resulting in Jesus' immediate arrest for sedition. Jesus did not fall into either trap. Instead, using a coin, he responded with an object lesson that amazed his questioners. Next, the Sadducees, intending to discredit Jesus, proposed a scenario that they thought would expose belief in the resurrection as foolishness. In response, Jesus used flawless reasoning to highlight scriptural evidence that the Sadducees had apparently never considered before. They professed to believe the words of Jehovah recorded at Exodus 3:6. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Jehovah spoke those words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had long since died. Yet Jehovah said, "I am their God," not "I was their God." By speaking of these long-dead patriarchs as though they were still alive, Jehovah showed that his purpose to resurrect his faithful servants is sure of fulfillment. Additionally, Jesus told the Sadducees that in the resurrection, neither do men marry nor are women given in marriage, but they are as angels in heaven. He may have been using the opportunity to reveal truths about the heavenly resurrection for the benefit of sincere disciples who would one day be in line to receive such a resurrection. The crowds were astounded at Jesus' authoritative teaching from the Scriptures. Finally, the Pharisees and Sadducees joined forces to test Jesus one last time. A scribe from among them, versed in the law, presented a deceptively simple question, namely, which is the greatest commandment? In Jesus' day, this was a hotly debated question. Would Jesus say something in answer that would damage his credibility? Let us listen to Matthew 22:34-46 to learn from Jesus' response. That's Matthew 22, beginning with verse 34.
Efter at farisæerne havde hørt, at han havde bragt saddukæerne til tavshed, samlede de sig i en gruppe. Og en af dem, en lovkyndig, spurgte for at prøve ham.
Lærer, hvilket er det største bud i loven?
Du skal elske Jehova din Gud af hele dit hjerte, og af hele din sjæl, og af hele dit sind. Dette er det største og første bud. Det andet, der ligner det, er dette. Du skal elske din næste som dig selv. På disse to bud hænger hele loven og profeterne.
Mens farisæerne nu var samlet, spurgte Jesus dem.
Hvad mener I om Messias? Hvis søn er han?
Davids.
Hvordan kan det da være, at David under inspiration kalder ham herre, i det han siger, Jehova sagde til min herre, sæt dig ved min højre hånd, indtil jeg lægger dine fjender under dine fødder. Når David kalder ham herre, hvordan er han så hans søn?
Og ingen var i stand til at svare ham et ord. Og fra den dag turde heller ingen mere stille ham spørgsmål.
Quoting from God's Word, Jesus captured the essence of true worship, love. The Mosaic Law consisted of more than 600 individual laws and regulations. Yet Jesus, without hesitation, selected the two commandments on which the whole law hangs. The clear truth of his answer, cut through human tradition, an empty debate. Jesus then turned the tables on his opposers with this question. If the Christ is to be a son of David, then why does David refer to him in the Psalms as my Lord? More than a mere riddle, this question uncovered the spiritual ignorance of Jesus' enemies. Exposed as spiritually blind, his opposers never dared to question Jesus again. How can we follow Jesus' example and bearing witness to the truth. First, by imitating his courage. Jesus' courage was based on faith in God. We grow in faith by praying for the Holy Spirit, by meditating on Bible accounts that highlight the courageous acts of God's servants, and by allowing what we learn at Christian meetings to sink into our hearts. Doing this enables us to build strong faith on the foundation of truth. Another way that we can follow Jesus' example in bearing witness to the truth is by imitating his masterful teaching. We can reach the hearts of sincere listeners with the truth by imitating Jesus' use of questions, illustrations, and object lessons, as well as his reasoning and skillful use of God's written word. Third, we are following Jesus' example when we persevere in our efforts to bear thorough witness. Never give up in preaching and teaching the good news. Those who reject the truth at first may respond later. The inspired record in Acts of Apostles tells us that in time, thousands of Jews began paying attention to the good news that had been preached by Jesus, including a large crowd of priests and some who had been Pharisees. These no longer acted in ignorance. Rather, they repented and gained Jehovah's favor. So, whether you are facing direct challenges or indirect ones, be determined to bear witness to the truth as Jesus did.